How much does Joshua Briscoe talk about Patrick Mahomes?
But Beards and I came to a realization the same moment about Magic Mahomes. That sounds like an NFL-themed sequel to the Magic Mike films.
Almost entirely.
Are you saying you wouldn't watch that movie?
Oh, no, dude. I am box office midnight showing.
This is Almost Entirely Mahomes with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, so do we just talk about Patrick Mahomes for like 45 minutes then? Because like that's something I'm always in the mood to do.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Pat Mahomes with Lee Jones here.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
And now I'm terrified that Patrick Mahomes is going to steal my girlfriend.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Yes, it's time. It's Almost Entirely Mahomes on a Friday, because it is. We got 2 hours of Chiefs-Patriots previewing for you. I will probably be hosting all of it. Beards, what happens if I lose my voice halfway through?
Sign language.
Sign language?
Yeah.
You want me to learn sign language so if I lose my voice, I can sign you what to say to keep the show going?
Oh, no. You're just doing sign language for the show.
Into a microphone.
Yeah. I don't see a problem with that.
It's time for the last show of the week. Chiefs versus Patriots. We'll talk to His Dirkness of the Amateur Hour Chiefs podcast and Pod Vader Jay Soderberg to get the Patriots perspective. That's the show today. It's happening today. I am definitely sick. I am really enjoying not a sponsor. Hall's assorted citrus cough drops. They're delicious. And we'll see if you hear any clinking against my teeth. Any point of today's show. It's my teeth, my pearly whites. Meeting a Hall's cough drop, not a sponsor. The throat coat tea here to keep me rolling. I should also say I've gotten the text, so I know it's real. Tonight at about 6:30, your boy television again. This time Channel 41, Mick Schaefer. It's me, Vahe Gregorian, and Rich Baldinger out here rocking for a Friday sound off. What else could you possibly ask for? You greedy. What else could you ask for? Also, I've got several things at the front here to several housekeeping items. So I'm on 41 tonight at 6:30. We're killing it. Tomorrow, starting at around 4:30 up until 8, it's Chaboy and Reed Salazar will be out there with me out at McFadden's at KCP&L for a rally the Chiefs are having. It starts around then. You can come through and see Casey Wolf, the Chiefs cheerleader, the Chiefs rumble. You can win some autographed items. You can win tickets to the game. Festivities begin at 5 p.m., although I'm insulted by that because it implies that I, myself, am not a festivity, when I would argue that I am. The first 200 guests will receive an official Chiefs Kingdom flag. 810's registering guests for tickets you could possibly win for the game. Heartland Coca-Cola is giving away a pair of field passes for the game. You can hop on the streetcar at Union Station around 5:30, where Chiefs Rumble is performing. They're going to head onto the Chiefs streetcar, where they'll perform and entertain riders all the way to the Power and Light District. Stephen St. John of 810 is emceeing the rally, kicking that off at 6:30 on the KC Live stage. With hype videos, performances from the cheerleaders, KC Wolf, and the band. There's all sorts going on there, but obviously, I mean, for me, I would say pretty much the biggest deal is that I'm going to be kicking it in McFadden's from 4:30-ish to 8, chatting about the Chiefs. So come through and say hi. Please don't interrupt me during a segment. Feel free to chat during commercial break. That's fair, right? But does that make me sound like a diva? I just, like, you know that if, like, you just walk in and start talking while I'm clearly, like, I will, like, shrug you off and it's not personal, but it's just, like, really important that I continue talking.
Very quickly, the comment section loves your Andy Reid jersey that you're wearing.
Excellent. That's very good. I hadn't considered that. Thank you, comment section. I'm going to steal that on Channel 41 tonight. I will say this is my Andy Reid jersey. I love that. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I'm going to toss a jacket up on for my TV. I felt like, you know, I still had to try to grab something with a collar on it. I got a little 810, that's not a boutonniere, a little lapel pin. But I want to bring my my flair. I'm doing it with my Andy Reid jersey tonight. Very good. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that. Yeah, and I'm not wearing red. I'm just dressed like Andy Reid. My mom says she's also been telling people at Lowe's and Walmart to watch Channel 5 tonight to see me, and they're going to think that she's crazy. If you're talking to random people at Walmart and Lowe's, telling them that your kid's going to be on TV,
oh no, I'm just
ship is sales.
I'm just feeling this as she's going up to random people. Hey, so are you going to watch Channel 41 tonight?
Well, she was saying 5. I was on 5 last night, which is great. I love everybody at 5. I'm on 41 tonight.
Are you going to be watching TV at 6:30 tonight? Stares at you.
Are you going to tell me that I should be?
Yes.
Yes, be watching. You're right. I'm guessing that the specifics aren't even there. So maybe they won't think she's crazier than she actually is. It's just maybe she's a promotions director for random local news stations. Yeah, excellent. That's very good. Very good work by all of us. But I'm on NBC with Mick Schaefer tonight for Friday Sound Off. Him, Vahe Gregorian, and Baldy. As long as my voice gets us there. We are. I'm just trying to stay down here. And win, lose, or draw, it can't be a draw. It has to be a win or a loss. Win or lose this weekend, I promise I'll have... I can't promise that I'll have my woo voice. Or that I'll be able to shriek in pain. But I'm trying to protect that. So today, do not take my gravelly tone for a lack of excitement. Because to be honest, I'm pretty jacked at the moment. I said this yesterday. I've said this a billion times in a billion places. I think as we go, I continually get more and more excited. And it's not because I'm just excited for the Chiefs to play in a big game. It's because I legitimately think they're going to win it. I think the Chiefs are the better team here. Like right now up on NFL Live on ESPN right now, they're going through some ways that Mahomes has been beaten, including like dropping that linebacker into coverage that pick the Patriots got this year. Teddy Bruschi is doing all of it. And the stat on the bottom of the screen is Mahomes, 0 pass touchdowns, 2 interceptions in first half of week 6 loss versus New England. Now, I mean...
What was the second half, Joshua?
I mean, I think it was 4-0. Let's see. We'll go and pull that up. Because, yeah, that matters to me. I would say that maybe they're just talking about, you know, like the importance of not letting Mahomes get off to a fast start or whatever. But it's Baghdad Bruschi, so I'm not going to assume intellectual honesty. Yeah, my dude Pat ended that game.
Your
four
dude
touchdowns.
Pat.
My dude Pat.
Your dude Pat.
My dude Pat ended that game with 4 TDs and no picks in that second half. The Chiefs lost that game by a field goal because Josh Shaw was covering Rob Gronkowski. Now, both in the meme sense and for the sake of my throat, I will sip my tea. What are we doing? This is, you know what? This is the thing that makes it feel like the Patriots are underdogs, where Teddy Bruschi is on ESPN right now trying to come up with these convoluted ideas that somehow Patrick Mahomes like met his kryptonite against the Patriots. The hell are you talking about? Like, what is this? They're showing some of his a misfire from the first half, an incompletion from the first half. That pick, the same pick again, but at a different angle. What are you doing here, NFL Live? This is how much of a corner you've painted yourself into. That you are pretending that Patrick Mahomes just did not play the second half. He went zero TDs, two picks in the first half against the Patriots, and the Chiefs just went to Henny, is what you're basically saying. This is so stupid. Anyway, I think the Chiefs have the all-around better team here. And if you are going to tell me that this game ends in a blowout of some sort, if you said somebody wins this game by 20, I would put my money on the Chiefs and not the Patriots. If it had to happen, because here's the thing. The Patriots could dominate the ground game. So if the Chiefs start off slow, maybe they give the Patriots a free possession. Sonny Michel could run the ball for a decade. He could run the ball until the end of time against this defense. I totally get it. Although Eric Berry being back does help, which, by the way, he's playing. Not even given a designation for the game day injury report. Eric Berry, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Spencer Ware, all totally clean. Dorian O'Daniel is out. That is it for both teams. Both teams are getting everybody back, apparently. Except for Dorian O'Daniel, which is a loss. But if you think that Eric Berry doesn't help enough to save this run defense, which is totally fair. Beards is current. I just realized what Beards is doing. There's a Patrick Mahomes cutout in the window. It's in our hallway. And Beards has it just creeping in over my shoulder. A little farther, Beards. Keep coming. Oh, nope, that other way. Sending you the wrong direction. He's setting up the Facebook Live to Patrick Mahomes just creeping in on the window behind me, which is pretty good. It's not a great bit for an audio medium, but it's a damn good bit for Facebook Live. His hair is not in the shot, unfortunately, but it's still definitely Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, what are you gesturing at, Beards? Talking to the microphone. Stop speaking in sign language.
Bring it in the studio.
I'd rather you didn't. If they win, you can. Monday. If they win, Monday's show will put Patrick Mahomes' cutout over my shoulder for Facebook Live for 2 hours. I'm good with that. Anyway. Eric Berry's playing in this game. He's starting in this game. I expect him to play the majority of this game. The fact that he is, like, miraculously a non-player on the injury report this week for the first time is not a coincidence. This is how this goes. He was asked at Arrowhead today, like, hey, what was it like having to watch this team play without you against the Colts? He was like, actually, I wanted to play, but I couldn't. It's complicated. He said many times, it's hard to explain. So he's never going to explain it, obviously. This offseason, we'll get somebody, you know. Somebody will go do the investigative report, and we'll learn what actually happened this year. Right now, it's just really, really bizarre. We'll get there eventually. But if he wanted to play against the Colts, I'm sure the Chiefs wanted to play him against the Colts, unless the Chiefs thought they were good without him and they had to just roll with keeping him healthy for the last two games of the year. Or he was getting advice from someone else. Business advice, agent, doctor, I have no idea. But he said he wanted to play in that game. Take that at face value if you want, whatever. I don't know. But he's going to play on Sunday. Anything else would be stunning to me and insanely disappointing on a level that, like, would far surpass even the disappointment of not playing against the Colts. Eric Berry's playing. He's not even, like, the Chiefs are going to have Dorian O'Daniel inactive and everybody else is going to be a healthy scratch. He's going to play. I'm not sure about LDT and Andrew Wiley. My hunch is that LDT gets the start, but I'm not 100% bought in on that yet. But to the point of what I was saying earlier on, like, the blowout side of things. If one of these two teams was going to get blown out, if one of these two teams are going to lose this game by 20, I'd put my money on the Patriots losing the game by a larger margin. because they might be able to run over this Chiefs defense, and maybe the Chiefs can't rattle these pass catchers like we've been saying they need to all week. And so Brady gets it quick to James White over and over and over again. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could. That they're not going to do that and also totally shut down Patrick Mahomes. Like, no, I know what I'm saying here. I would say there is an unbelievably low, like almost a 0% chance of this Chiefs offense just getting held to like 14. It's just not going to happen. The Chiefs' best game is better than the Patriots' best game. The Chiefs' worst game is better than the Patriots' worst game. They just can't deliver their worst performance while the Patriots deliver their best. They're good teams, but as we go, the more and more I dig in on this game, the more and more confident I am that the Chiefs are the superior team, and it might not even be close. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Do you like Chris Jones sound, Beards? Is it ready to go like right this second? If not, we'll save it for later. Okay. Speaking of being very ready to go for this game, somebody asked Chris Jones at the press conference today. He said, this is going to, you know, you're an emotional guy. You're going to be really amped for this game, I imagine. What are you going to do? You have any plans to get kind of even keeled before the game? And here's Chris Jones' response.
Man, this is a playoff. It's no time for even keel here. Everybody got to be fired up. The crowd is going crazy. It's going to be an emotional game. It's going to be a little cold, but who cares? We're ready to play right now if we have to. So it's going to be exciting.
It doesn't count for anything points-wise, but Chris Jones has won every press conference he's ever been in. He's just fun to listen to talk. Somebody else, we don't have the audio of this, I guess. It probably wouldn't sound very good because the reporter's mics aren't high enough. But somebody asked Chris Jones, or actually asked Tyreek Hill. They said, hey, you're pretty much, Bill Belichick has pretty much said that you've been giving him nightmares, you know, preparing for this week. And Tyreek Hill just hopped in with a, mm-hmm. And the reporter went back to his question. But it made me very happy. Tyreek Hill is happy to hear that, I think. I think maybe he knew that already. It's a fun team, man. It's a fun team and it's a good team. If this team was like 9-7 and then like miraculously won a playoff game, like I think on some level we'd all just, like, this city would have embraced this team so much anyway. But the actual fun of it, a layer beyond that, is that they're the best team in their conference. And I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Am I a crazy person? Sure. Probably.
That's normal, though.
That's how this
goes.
That's
every day.
I'm almost going to sneeze. Does having a cold make you sneeze? I'm trying to feel. Yeah. I'm on my allergy meds on every level. I'm trying. I'm trying to play through the pain. My body, you know, my body's feeling like it's getting close. My spirit, you know, it didn't feel right in my spirit. It's an Eric Berry joke. We'll see how his darkness of the Amateur Hour Chiefs podcast. We'll see how his spirit is feeling whenever we come back. As he's going to join us with Dr. Ryan Scott Hall, the other half of the show, pretty frequently around here. Today is a Dirk day. We're going to let Dirk help take us into the weekend, into the AFC Championship weekend. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Mahomes on the range. Where they allow some deep plays.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Where seldom is heard a failed third down conversion. And Albert Wilson never sees the light of day.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Almost here, sort of, kind of. Close-ish, nearly, almost close. It's Friday. It's Friday, there's a football game on Sunday. What better way to bridge that gap than by talking to his darkness? The second half, I don't know if I should make you the second half. That feels unfair. Half of the Amateur Hour Chiefs podcast, himself and Ryan Scott Hall, the two hosts of the show. Do you object to being called the second half of that?
It's better looking half is the okay. Official title.
That's good. Okay. I'll write that down. Beards, can you write that down for me?
You're right on it.
Thank you. Also, I just saw this from earlier today. Somebody edited the Wikipedia page for the AFC Championship game, and it says the AFC Championship game is where one team gets to play the New England Patriots for a chance to play in the Super Bowl, which is like a funny little joke. And then the Patriots Twitter account quote tweeted it with, "We didn't write this, we swear," who also continue to use the hashtag bet against us. So, Dirk, let's start here. How into hashtag bet against us are you with the plucky little underdogs that are the New England Patriots?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't bother me too much. I mean, it does make them seem a little weak, I think. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, this is stuff they've done going back to Belichick's early days. They've always looked for slights like that in the media, and that's just kind of what they've do. And it's kind of led to a boring last 15 years in the NFL because it's made people afraid to say anything because bulletin board material. So, you know, I kind of hate him for that, and I think it looks a little weak, but I ain't too mad at it this week, man.
That's fine, and they are the actual underdog for the first time, and we looked this up, 69 games. So that's exciting.
Hey.
But, man, the closer we get to the game for me, the more I start feeling strongly about how I feel this game goes. I'll save that to you. Tell me how you're feeling right now.
I mean, I'm feeling great. I mean, I feel like we really got the monkey off our back last week. I feel like we're the better team this week. So, I mean, I think it's going to take, you know, either the Chiefs losing this game or Belichick and McDaniels, especially against Bob Sutton, working some wizardry. Or, I mean, the only other way I could see us losing is if our run defense really is that bad and the Patriots just run it 40 times for 200 yards.
That's what I've been saying for the last like 20 minutes. We are in lockstep on that front. The one thing about it though is like, even if the Chiefs' defense, the run defense, is as atrocious as we've seen it be at its worst, if they do run the ball 40 times for 200 yards and the Chiefs only get like 8 offensive possessions, even then I have no reason to think that Belichick's going to be able to stifle Patrick Mahomes for a full game.
Yeah, but I mean, if you minimize possessions like that, it just takes, you know, that one mistake. Like, he baited Mahomes with that, you know, Dante Hightower interception the first time they met, and it just kind of got a few little things like that, and it was just quite enough in that first game. So, I mean, I think that is the way to attack the Chiefs. And, I mean, then it comes down to the other biggest problem in that game was red zone. And the Patriots just converted more in the red zone. And I kind of forgot that until I went back and rewatched. But Chiefs are kicking more field goals than they had at any other time. I would bet it's their worst red zone performance of the season. Mm. Once you get down like that with both offenses able to move it, it's just going to be, you know, who can convert their chances.
And at this point, I feel better about the Chiefs in the red zone than I did back then, week 6 or whatever it was. Like, this offense has gotten better. It lost Kareem Hunt, and I feel more confident about the offense this week because it seems like it's firing on all cylinders truly at this point. Is that fair?
Oh, I would say, well, I would say they've been just as efficient, but for whatever reason, they haven't seemed like as crisp as they were earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably like the, you know, defenses get some film on them and kind of figuring things out. Because early in the season, it was just 30-yard chunk after 30-yard chunk. And I think they're having to work a little bit harder for the yardage now, but I think that just kind of comes naturally in the NFL as the season progresses. So I think the offense, I don't know if they're at their best right now, but I think they're humming. They're humming. They're healthy. They got Watkins back for the first time in a long time, and that's a huge part. And with Kareem Hunt out, Damon Williams is doing more than enough right now. And I was kind of concerned about his short yardage the last couple of weeks, and he answered that in a big way last week, converting on 4th and 1 3 times in the game. So I put those concerns to bed. Go ahead, Belichick. I dare you to stop this offense. Yep. You know, more than we stop you.
I just feel like that's the way to go about it. So I guess look at the other side. How do you feel about Bob Sutton altogether at the moment?
How do I feel about him?
How do you feel about Bob Sutton? We'll get the specifics in a second.
I don't hate him as much as everybody else does, but I mean, that's the kind of thing, like, people want to come out every week and be like, we got to fire Bob Sutton, and I don't think he's done a good job or anything, but it doesn't do anything for me to say we need to fire him in the middle of the season. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, commenting on a movie midway through.
Right.
And, you know, if maybe if it's a complete joke of a movie, which I guess you could argue Bob Sutton is, then you're free to do that. But, you know, the Chiefs are in the AFC Championship, so, I mean, he's not sinking the ship. So I'm giving him a chance, and I'm holding out, but he's definitely, you know, one of the top goats if we lose this game. I mean, he's top of the line for taking the blame if the Chiefs don't advance to the Super Bowl.
With what we've seen from Brady, and especially just this Patriots offense altogether for the last couple of years even, what is your strategy if you're in Sutton's shoes? If you get to build this defense, what do you see the most important aspects of it being?
Well, I mean, I think the Patriots want to come out and they want to run the ball, and they want to throw the ball to the running backs out of the backfield, and then they want to hit Julian Edelman on crossers and pick plays and outs and all those kind of stuff. But what they don't want to do, where they're weakest at, is outside receiver. And, you know, Philip Dorsett or Cordarrelle Patterson and Chris Hogan, I mean, these are the guys that don't scare you. So I want to make those guys beat you. And if that means them throwing it downfield in one-on-one situations to these guys, I'm fine with that. And that's really what the game kind of came down to last time in that week six. Brady just threw a perfect third and one pass to Chris Hogan on one of the biggest plays of the game. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I want to force. I want to make Brady throw it downfield, and I want to make those outside receivers beat you. And if he comes out and plays like 2007 Tom Brady, then you tip your hat and you say, well, we lost to one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. But I am not going to let them just dink and dunk and just run the ball. I'm not going to make it easy. I'll make them beat you with their weakest players.
I'm totally down with that. How do you make that happen? Philosophically, I'm 100% with you. But how do you make Brady leave this running game, leave the James White checkdowns that they've built up so much of this season?
I mean, that's a good question.
That's why Bob Sutton makes the big bucks and you don't.
I'll defer to Bob on that one.
Oh, don't you dare. We couldn't book Bob Sutton today. We tried.
I would crowd the box, obviously. I mean, I'm trying to take away the running game first and foremost. I think they're going to, if they see a crowded box, they're going to go play action heavy, and they're just going to dump it over the middle to those linebackers that are biting up. And they're going to try and get one-on-one situations, particularly with Anthony Hitchens or Reggie Ragland if he finds his way on the field. And they're going to try and get running backs matched up with them. So, I mean, I would come out. I'm not the strongest X's and O's guys, but I would almost give like a zone look. So you kind of take away like the Edelman easy stuff, like the quick outs and the pick plays and that kind of stuff that they really took advantage of against the Chargers. So I kind of come out with a zone look, and then maybe man up on James White and drop down a safety, whether that's Daniel Sorensen or Eric Berry now. Hey, Eric Berry.
Yep.
But find someone who can, you know, match up against James White and just try and take those two things out of their game and make them beat you otherwise.
Eric Berry is an actual option now. He's been a full participant in practice all week. He's not even on the injury report. How much does that change your expectations defensively?
Not at all, I don't think. I mean,
really?
Eric, no, not really. I mean, what did anything change when he played in those two games? I mean, the Chargers, you know, they put up 29 points on 8 possessions pretty much. That's a high number. I mean, the Seahawks kind of went up and down the field. I think Russell Wilson played fantastic and you know, threaded some deep balls in there. But, you know, Eric Berry, I thought he looked really good in that first half against the Chargers, and I guess the defense played pretty good when he did play in that game. But, you know, in that second game, I don't think he made an impact whatsoever. So I don't think we're getting the Eric Berry of old. So, I mean, it's just kind of just trotting out. It might be a slight improvement, but that's not changing my expectations for this defense at all.
Interesting. I don't know that you're wrong, but I don't think I've heard many people say that so far. One thing that came up a lot today out of Arrowhead with all of the teams doing with the team doing their pressers and all of the various guys that spoke, all the pass rushers talked about how hard it is to get to Tom Brady before the ball gets out of his hand because he does get rid of the ball extremely quickly. So what's the move then? What do you do with a quarterback that doesn't need 2 seconds to get the ball out?
Well, I guess one thing you could do is have the defenders get their hands up and try and bat some balls. I mean, you're pretty much describing the 2015 playoff loss to the Patriots to a T. I mean, pass rush was kind of our biggest strength, much like it is now. And so they took advantage of that. Well, we're just going to throw the ball in under 2 seconds. We're not even going to give you a chance to get to the quarterback. And it kind of frustrated our guys, I think. And they just kind of marched up and down the field and kind of, you know, dinked and dunked their way. But how you take that away, I don't know. You got to solve. You just got to solve Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. You know, the best big deal.
Yeah.
The best trio in NFL history. So you know, it shouldn't be too hard. Just got to do that.
This is a thought experiment that is making you Bill Belichick, so this is fun. I've done this many times, and I don't assume that I'm going to end up with the same answer as Bill Belichick. But it seems like every time these two teams play, really Belichick always, people talk about how he will identify your best weapon and then will take that away from you. Who do you think Belichick will be or even should be focusing on this week with the Chiefs offense, and does it matter?
I mean, it's really tough, I think, with all Sammy Watkins, Tyreek, and Travis Kelce. I mean, those are the three you're really looking at. I mean, you can throw Damian Williams in there, but the running game doesn't really apply to this exercise, I don't think. I think the guy he's trying to take away in the past has been Travis Kelce. And they just kind of bracketed him, and they've chipped him off the line a lot when he's inside. But the guy that's really torn them up has been Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guy I would try and take away, because he's the one, he's the one that can really hurt you. I mean, the 70-yard touchdowns, those are coming from Tyreek Hill, not as much from Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce. So I would go at Tyreek Hill. And one thing that nobody's really touching on, and I almost wonder if the Chiefs are kind of hiding a bit, and as they should, but Tyreek Hill, man, I rewatched that Week 6 game against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill was noticeably faster at that time.
Interesting.
And he got banged up against Baltimore.
Right.
And then last week, I don't even know if it made it on the TV broadcast, but at the game you could see it. He turned his ankle early in that game, and he was limping, and he missed a couple plays in the first couple series, and then probably got some magic juice or some magic mm-hmm. spray on him and started to feel better. But I don't think Tyreek Hill is 100% healthy. I don't think we've seen him, as blazing fast as he was early in the season. And that's just kind of, you know, natural over the course of a season. But just something to keep an eye on, that I'm not sure if Tyreek Hill is, you know, playing at 100%. I think the Chiefs might be trying to hide a little bit, which is very smart.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it would be smart. I still, and maybe that also gives you a little bit of an explanation on the bit of a lack of the downfield passing game these last few weeks.
Yeah, and also more attention given to Tyreek with Sammy Watkins out. I mean, mm-hmm. it's so much easier to roll safeties over the top when you got Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson on the other side as opposed to Sammy Watkins. So, I mean, it's just a mixture of those type of things. But yeah,
Which quarterback would you take?
Which quarterback would I take? Like, in this game?
In this game.
Jeez. You're gonna get me killed, aren't you?
I am. I'm gonna make you say one of their names.
I mean, I'll roll with the kid. I can't not say the kid. I mean, I think the stronger case is probably to be made about Tom Brady, just because of how he shows up in big moments and everything like that. But you know, I'm not even here for that. I'm not even gonna entertain that. No, I'm going with the kid.
I think it's the right actual answer, though, because of the versatility of Mahomes' game at this point, the number of things that he is successfully doing, where Brady is perfectly executing a specific type of quarterbacking. I think that that's the right answer right now, and it's weirdly taking me to a place where I'm not nearly as afraid of Tom Brady as I probably should be.
Yeah, and it's so crazy to hear these, you know, mental gymnastics people are going through to try and denounce Patrick Mahomes. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he comes out a little jittery against, you know, the best defenses that he plays
right.
on the road and in prime time and all this stuff. Like, oh, he missed a couple throws in a couple first quarters. Like, so, you know, let's hold our horses on Patrick Mahomes, you know. Not like we're comparing Patrick Mahomes to the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Right.
Not just the greatest quarterbacks, their greatest seasons of all time.
Right.
That's the company that Patrick Mahomes, in his first season. This point cannot be made enough. We're comparing him to Tom Brady's greatest season. We're comparing him to Peyton Manning's greatest seasons. We're comparing him to Aaron Rodgers' greatest season. It's Patrick Mahomes' first season.
Yeah.
Like, this just doesn't happen other than the only one example is Dan Marino back in 1984, which – you know, looking at on paper, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the era that he played in to put in those numbers. I wasn't alive yet, so I can't tell you too much about it. But that's the only thing that really compares you know, in a grand sense to what Mahomes has done this year.
I obviously couldn't hear it, but to that point, on ESPN, on NFL Live in here a little bit ago, they were Teddy Bruschi was talking, so I guess,
oh,
you know, cite your sources here. Teddy Bruschi was talking, and the bottom third graphic was pointing out how Patrick Mahomes had had two interceptions and no touchdowns in the first half against the Patriots. It was ignoring the fact that he ended up with four touchdowns and no picks in the second half, and that the Chiefs won that game by a total of the Patriots won that game by a total of 3 points. I just would like for you to share your thoughts on Teddy Bruschi and that stat.
Teddy Bruschi, you know, I'm not going to lie. I loved Teddy Bruschi back in the day. I liked when the Patriots were the plucky underdogs, but maybe that's why the storyline doesn't bother me all that much. But, I mean, he's definitely, you know, a mouthpiece for, you know, the Patriots up there, and
yes,
as he should be. I mean, we got our mouthpieces out in the media, too. We got our guys.
Say their name.
Doing,
name a name, Dirk.
Nick Wright.
Name
I mean,
a name.
We got Jason Whitlock wearing a little Mahomes wig on national television. That's fun.
Yeah, you're right.
But Teddy Bruschi, I don't know. I enjoyed his face on the Stephen A. Smith video. That's probably the most relevant thing I've seen from Teddy Bruschi in his announcing career.
Does that I would say sort of a reach of a stat do anything for you right now? Is there a concern that Belichick comes up with something that slows Mahomes long enough?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're talking about a game that they can limit to a certain number of possessions and you can kind of steal one or two of those possessions just by coming up with something, I mean, it doesn't have to be – it's not stopping Patrick Mahomes. It's slowing him down and confusing him once or twice, which is exactly what they did last time, and that was enough. And so, I mean, that's what Bill Belichick's trying to do this week, is just come up with some sort of plan that can you know, limit him. And, you know, whether he does or not, you know, he's got a history of doing it. So we'll see. I mean, that's the matchup. I mean, Patrick Mahomes versus Bill Belichick, the future greatest quarterback of all time versus the greatest coach of all time. So, you know, let's roll him out.
The thing about that that's funny is that, I mean, so lots of things about the being able to cite week one game, but the first matchup between the two. Citing that game and saying it was enough in that game is obviously accurate. The Patriots won. But the Chiefs have, again, I would say the offense right now moving in a way that I'm very excited about. But defensively, they now have Eric Berry and Justin Houston. And instead of Breland Speaks being there to wrap up Tom Brady at the end of the game and then letting him run into the end zone or whatever, like, instead of that happening, it's Justin Houston doing it. And even in the running game, especially in the running game, arguably, against Sony Michel and trying to contain James White and everything in the passing game, like, Justin Houston is a great answer for a lot of those questions. I don't think that same performance from the Patriots defense works this week. I don't think that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I mean, as far as if the defense continues their play whatsoever, if they're able to stop the run of the Patriots, I mean, we're gonna wipe the floor with them, and we're gonna win by a couple scores. I mean, they have to be able to run the ball, and really, I expect them to be able to. But if the defense is able to show up like anything they have been the last couple weeks, with, you know, Justin Houston back in form this time, I mean, they're gonna win the game.
So who are the Chiefs going to play in the Super Bowl, you think? Like, who are you rooting for this weekend?
Rooting for? I guess I'd like to play the Rams again.
I would prefer that.
I kind of think the Rams are going to win, although I also thought nobody was picking the Rams, and then I asked that, and I've kind of seen a ton of Rams picks now from the media, but I just don't think the Saints have been playing that well for the last 2 months. So I think the Rams are kind of the better team, so I kind of expect them to win.
All right, sell us on Amateur Hour. Ryan comes in and does it frequently, but tell everybody about the show, why it's special and interesting and good, and you should listen to it before this game this weekend.
Hi, guys. We do a podcast.
Hi,
Dirk. We talk Chiefs. I mean, the reason people love us so much is because we give the fans' perspective instead of annoying people like Josh's media perspective. So, I mean, we like to, you know, drink and curse during it and have all kinds of fun and...
Yeah.
I mean, if you tuned in this week, you got to hear some very, very special details about Ryan's medical condition that would make everybody feel quite sick. So that's fun. We do stuff like that, and we try to have a fun time.
After Hours, a good little time. It's fun. You should give it a listen. Fun little podcast.
Can I get a little taste of Ryan's medical condition?
Oh no, that's saved for listeners, just, for premium listeners.
No, you gotta give us a genre here. You gotta sweeten that pot a tiny bit more.
I mean, the people that are listening right now, putting that on people that know what I'm talking about, putting that in a genre. I'm trying to think of how I can say this on the radio without getting in trouble.
Yep, that's exactly. I'm gonna sit here and just continue to make noises out of my mouth while you figure out the best way you can go about that.
It's some butt stuff. It's some butt play. That's about the extent of it. But it's medical. So I mean, we're not perverts. It's just this is the human body, human anatomy. How
yeah,
about that?
Nothing
human
wrong with
anatomy
that.
Anatomy would be the genre.
I have no reason to believe that you guys aren't perverts. Which is also okay. This show accepts you for that. All right, we'll let you go. Okay. You just get out of here. Get out of here and go think about what you've done.
Okay.
It's Dirk. You're so welcome, Dirk. His Dirkness. Follow him on Twitter, the same handle, at His Dirkness. You can listen to the Amateur Hour Chiefs podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Find out more about Ryan Scott Hall's butt.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I think we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey over in the 810 studio.
We did. I know we
I don't
did.
Know what's happened to that.
Shh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shh. It was a medium. So I'm currently on a starvation diet so I can fit into it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean,
we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey that just disappeared? Ooh, spooky!
On ESPN Kansas City.
In case you were not aware, Sports Radio 810 is your home for the NFL conference playoffs all day. I've got that show at McFadden's Saturday night from the end of the KU game, probably around 4:30-ish until 8 o'clock. I have some programming to get you through the night. Pre-game happening all day Sunday. And then we will hand it over to the Rams-Saints game. You can listen to that on 810. And then the game itself is on 810 as well. The Chiefs-Patriots game will be on 810. It's the Westwood One call. Oh, man, if I was a professional, I would have had that ready.
While you do that, also I'd like to say, if you find yourself in the ESPN Kansas City parking lot for whatever reason, you can also listen to both games on ESPN Kansas City.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you, Beards. It's Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Ed Werder on the Rams-Saints game on 810. And then Sunday night, evening, I guess, it's Kevin Kugler, Tony Baselli, and Ross Tucker doing Chiefs versus Patriots.
They did miss out, though, by not putting Kevin Harlan on the Chiefs game.
I did think that felt like a mistake.
But Kevin Kugler's really good.
Kevin Kugler's very good. I like Ross Tucker a lot. I have just ignored Tony Baselli, I guess, by saying those two things.
Not having Iron Eagle sad.
It is also sad. Well, no, it's not. Nothing's sad because you listen to it on 810.
That's fair.
And that's happy. We're happy about that.
I like Iron Eagle, though.
You're saying, Beards? Are you talking about Iron Eagle?
Yeah, he's good. I've had to run a lot of Westwood One football games over the past couple years.
That makes sense.
So I know all of those broadcasters. I'm like, oh, they're all really good.
Yeah, Westwood One is extremely good at that. You would think that TV could get that right, and they never do. It's mostly not the play-by-play guys. Most of the play-by-play guys are good. The fact that like Dan Fouts is going to be doing this until the end of time is kind of distressing.
And Jason Witten and Booger McFarlane. At least they retired the Booger Mobile.
They did, and it only makes sense. Like, I'm all about doing some different stuff.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah, to try to change some things, but, like, that was not working. There was a rumor a while back, and it's not true, that I think it was WEEI, home of the Red Sox, was going to start changing how they do baseball play-by-play.
Yeah, it was a rumor.
Basically, I know. Walk with me through this thing that isn't happening, where they would change it more to be a talk show where there's a baseball game happening. And, you know, they're updating you, and as things are happening, they're reacting and everything. But it's just, it'd be much more conversational, a whole lot less. The 2-2. Ball 3.
And the pitch.
And the windup. Full count. And fouled right back into the backstop. Anyway, Alcides Escobar. I think that's really interesting as an idea. I like the creativity of those ideas. It doesn't forgive the Booger Mobile completely. But at least they also, like, hey, we're trying it for a while, and then they took it away, and
it wasn't practically effective.
Correct. It added nothing.
Well, and also it covered up people's
It blocked people's views. It added pretty much nothing. It made it harder and more awkward for him to, like, get into the conversation. Yeah. I think the Chiefs are going to win, by the way, you guys. Have I mentioned that yet? I think the Chiefs are going to win. Eric Berry today made things even weirder, for the record. Out at Arrowhead, there were pressers of various sorts. Lots of people talked. And Eric Berry was asked a couple different things regarding his heel. And the most interesting one that I thought was, what was the setback that, you know, knocked you out of the Raiders game and, you know, or kept you from coming into the Raiders, from being out for the playing the Raiders game, being out the week before in practice, being out the next week in practice, missing the Colts game? You know, what was the setback that you experienced? Was that like the setback of the initial injury? And Barry's response was verbatim and completely here. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. Then he just stopped talking. Dude's not going to talk about it. Not to largely assembled media. I have a lot of questions about how all that's unfolding. But most of that will be things that we can try to parse throughout the offseason. Because here's the truth of the moment on Eric Berry. If he plays these next 2 weeks, and he plays really next two games, I guess over 3 weeks, and he plays well and the Chiefs win him, this was the right call. Mismanagement all throughout, weirdness all throughout, bad communication all throughout. Absolutely. All of that is absolutely true. But if you have a season that ends with you as the one seed, with you as the one seed in your conference, you get a bye week, you win your first game, and then you need your player to help you win two games to win the Super Bowl. Not just get there, but to win it. And he's able to do that for you? That is a successful season. So I won't say that the Chiefs have managed it well with Eric Berry. It seems like they definitely haven't. But I can't be too angry about the fact that they're now in an AFC Championship game, and Eric Berry is off the injury report for the first time this year. Not an ideal season, but they are in the most ideal place they could currently be, which is, with the exception of Dorian O'Daniel, completely healthy, not counting the IR guys, obviously, but even that list at this point is pretty slim. They're completely healthy, not counting Dorian O'Daniel and the IR guys. They're the one seed hosting the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. I guess the way that this could be a more ideal situation would be if they were hosting that against the 2018-19 Raiders. But, like, realistically, this is as good as it gets. So maybe for a little while we can... listen, man, if the Chiefs win this week, we're going to be wondering about Eric Berry for the Super Bowl also, I'm sure. I'd be surprised if he practiced every day for 2 weeks or all of the days that are available. I don't know. We can figure that out when we get there. In the meantime, he's playing. Everyone is playing. And I feel really good about the Chiefs winning. We'll talk more about it whenever we come back. Jay Soderberg, Pod Vader, coming up in about 20 minutes here for the New England perspective on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.